Good morning, Zion Mennonites. I am pleased to see such shining faces even amidst the powerful heat of the dog days of summer. Today, we come to give thanks to our Creator. We are called to cast our burdens into His loving arms and come to worship together, sharing our joys and sorrows with strangers, family, friends, or foes. So we want to welcome visitors this morning. There is a visitor card in the pew, and we would like you to put it into the offering basket as it comes around. This way we can keep you in our prayers. So now let us get up and share and welcoming each other into this space. Next, if you have any announcements, would you please come to the front?
I'm not sure what to think when I get up to make an announcement and my wife says, "Oh no, what's he going to say?" Oh my. I am a member of the Gifts Discernment Committee, and we have been discerning, and we have much more discerning to do. Coming up this year, we have a whole batch of elders that we believe will need to be discerned and elected or nominated, whatever it is we do with them. In addition to that, we have upcoming a lot of responsibilities to fulfill the upcoming Vacation Bible School roster. It takes, 60 to 100 people, something like that, and it seems like at the last minute, things always work out, but for the people who are in charge of helping find and fill those positions, it's a veritable nightmare. So please be in prayer over the next weeks and month. See if God is speaking to you, leading you to a position. There are other positions that will be coming up as well this fall. That's all.
All right. Well, if there are no other announcements, we will continue with the call to worship. What is distracting you from worship today? But who can add a moment to their lives worrying? Today, we remember the importance of seeking you in each day, knowing that your love will sustain us. God took his time on you, crafted you precisely so you could offer the world something distinct from everyone else. Let us use our gifts to glorify you. Let us rejoice in your love and find solace in your embrace. Lean on you in times of trouble and in times of joy. Remember your guidance in our anxious states, for you know our hearts and lead us to peace. Thanks be to your exquisite kingdom today and the kingdom to come. Amen.
Take your green books and turn to page 18. Page 18 in the green books. Please stand.
Oh, my head. I hear music in the air.
like you'd all take a minute and think of something that makes you feel grateful. And put it into a word, one word, something that invites gratitude in your life. And the word can be a person's name. And now I'd like someone to raise their hand and share. Don't make me be vulnerable. If nobody shares, I'll feel stupid. What's your word? Raise your hand.
Family.
Family. Let's sing it. And we'll do the verse part. When we get to the end, it's going to, there must be a God somewhere. We're going to string it out. We're going to do, there must be a God. Really? Clap, clap. There must be a God. Really? Clap, clap. And then, there must be a God somewhere. So the verse. And when I think of family, I hear music in the air. And when I think of family, I hear music in the air. And when I think of family, I hear music in the air. There must be a God. There must be a God. There must be a God somewhere. Let's do that God thing again. And you can tap on your bench if you'd like. There must be a God. There must be a God. There must be a God somewhere. Somebody else. A word of gratitude.
Over my head, I see
Sheila in the air. Over my head, I see Sheila. Mixed up. We're going to go there. Okay. And when I think of Sheila, I hear music in the air. And when I think of Sheila, I hear music in the air. And when I think of Sheila, I hear music in the air. There must be a God. There must be a God. There must be a God somewhere. And when I think of rain, take out this little piece of paper. This is an old song that's a new song from the Life Songbook. I was inspired to lead this song when I read Serenity's notes for the service today, when there was a little note that said, you know, the kingdom of God doesn't have to be about big, huge things. It can be little things, and I was thinking it can be wherever you are. So we're going to sing the song in unison first time through, and then we'll do it in parts.
Thank you.
Now that you know it, we'll sing the first verse one more time with harmony.
Would the ushers please come up? Let us bow in a word of prayer. Dear Creator God, thank you for this beautiful Sunday. Thank you for these summer days. Thank you for Serenity, who will be sharing her message and story with us. Bless her and keep her by your side. God, we come to you with our heavy hearts. We ask for your kindness and your grace upon us, but we also thank you for the lives that we live. In your name we pray, amen.
We're just a normal family that has decided to open our home up to people every Tuesday so they can come and get food. We've been doing this in Hubbard since 2010. Our heart's been transformed over the years. In 2006, we began a homeless ministry in downtown Portland. And a few years later, we ended up converting our RV around for vegetable oil and began a journey around the country, providing food and water for folks who came across on the streets and under bridges. Many times we just listened to people's stories, spent time with them so that they felt them by some. We wound up traveling over 16,000 miles and we went to just about every major city in the United States. After more than a year on the road, we clearly realized that God was calling us back to our community here in Hubbard. While traveling, we began to understand the importance of being in a place, to have a spot, and to be ultimately in a deeper community with our neighbors. We saw so many remarkable people across the country loving the poor and marginalized. The examples they gave us inspired us and shaped our vision for the Jubilee Food Pantry.
Every Tuesday, Jubilee Food Pantry is open from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock p.m. We start preparing in the morning by visiting local businesses that we glean produce and baked goodies from. I don't think they realize how much they're helping folks, but we definitely see it. It takes a village to care for one another, and every single person is important and precious in the process.
The Jubilee Food Pantry has several local businesses that support what we're doing. We have Diamond Farms, Penny Rita's, and Pacific Foods that collect and donate food that they grow. Wetback Bakery donates baked goods to us. But at the center of what the JFP is are the covenant congregations. We currently have 7 churches in the community that collect from folks in their congregations, and then this rotates between each one of those 7 churches each week. We also have local gardeners that grow food in their own gardens that will drop off produce weekly throughout the summer. And this is really a beautiful thing to see so many different people and different denominations all coming together to help others in our community.
Jubilee Food Pantry is not an insanity thing. We never intended it to be. Jubilee Food Pantry is ran, operated, and ministered by so many people. Our friend Renette comes safely every Tuesday to put away and organize the shelves. The Lopez family has been coming for years now, taking guests through the food pantry and helping us with Spanish translation. We have others who like to just come and help bag up beans, rice, flour, diapers, whatever else needs to be done before food pantry starts at 4 o'clock. And then we have others who come to just hang out. And we see that people generally enjoy themselves when they're here. God is here, and His Spirit is free up to use those who are willing. Andy and I are so happy to have taken this opportunity to share what we have. God's vision for community is creative, so simple, and so possible for everyone. He continues to teach us about His amazing imagination that He has for His kingdom and His heart for His children. It's not really about the food here, but it's about loving and being loved. God gave us Jesus to show us how to live. And then He gave us His Holy Spirit to be able to love and live it out in power, truth, and grace. Andy and I are so honored to have this little spot in Hubbard for our family to bring a glimpse of His kingdom and give God a place.
Mi nombre es Selena López. Yo estoy viviendo aquí a Jubilee desde que salió, desde hace 4 años. Mi motivo de seguir viniendo es, me gusta ayudar a la gente, me gusta ayudar a la seguridad en el Randy y en lo que podamos aligerarles un poquito el trabajo a ellos también, ya que ellos tratan de darnos a nosotros lo que ellos pueden, y más que nada a mi señora y a mis hijos que sí se puede ayudar a las personas, y me gusta que ellos aprendan valores de cómo ahora yo lo que estoy cocinando en casa para mi esposo que está trabajando, para mis hijos que llegan de la escuela. Y es una gran ayuda porque hoy, gracias a ellos, tengo un plato de comida en mi hogar.
Thank you to Zion and to all of our Covenant congregations, but you guys have been with us from the very beginning, and it's hard to believe that it's been over 5 years now. Some of you guys came and helped us celebrate a month or so ago. One of the changes that I think it's been in the bulletin, we've discussed it with several folks, we've chosen to kind of reduce the number of times that we are meeting, and so instead of every Tuesday, we are now open every first and third Tuesday, which gives us time as a family. It's only our fifth year. It's not our seventh, but it's still our Jubilee. And so we're taking some Sabbath time to just spend time as a family, to reflect, and to kind of become rejuvenated. I think I struggle with this as well. Folks will ask, you know, how is the food pantry? How is the JFP? And we want to instantly go to how great it is. But it's tough to invite people into your home every Tuesday for 3 hours. And it's a struggle for a family, for children, to give up their space every Tuesday. And so there are some times where we need to just be honest with ourselves and say reduce the number of times and kind of just reflect and spend some time together with family. So those were decisions that we've made. And don't get us wrong, it's absolutely joyful. And it's not all bad. There's just some times where it's difficult. And so we wanted to have an opportunity to share with you guys the specifics about moving to the first and third Tuesday, but also to say, and mainly to say thank you. The barrel always gets full at Zion. And it's always a great opportunity for us to feel loved and to feel supported. So thank you.
Turn to page 324 in the Blue Books, 324. And please stand.
Thank you. As you can see in your bulletin, Matthew is doing a pulpit exchange today with Pastor Simon in Portland. So I knew that he was going to be gone, and it was the intention for me to preach this Sunday. But when I knew that Jubilee Food Pantry was going to have a video, I just said to Andy and Serenity, do you guys have any more that you would like to share on this particular Sunday tied to the video? So Andy emailed me and said, you know, Jana, why don't you talk to Serenity? She has some things to say that are on her heart. So we got together. Serenity and I met together with the intention that we would get up here and give a message together. And in that sharing, she just had a lot of things on her heart, and I just felt like God was saying, Serenity, this is your time. This is your time to share your stories and a message with Zion. So I ended up taking notes as she did the talking, and we kind of worked together on bringing this service. So I'm excited for you to hear her stories this morning, and I'm asking you to follow along with me in the scripture passage, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Serenity. God bless this message. Thank you for my sister and the things that you have put on her heart. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Amen.
I have a stool. To be honest with you, I feel like a child up here trying to talk like I know something, which I don't. I know that I love Jesus. I know that I have had glimpses of the kingdom of God. And so I share my stories with you. The fact that Jesus talked so much about the kingdom has caused me to be inspired to put my mind to it. He used stories for our imaginations to be blown open, for questions to be wrestled with, and to inspire our faith. Our imaginations and who we see, what we see in our minds, impacts what we do and how we live. The kingdom of God takes the ugly and turns it into or helps you see the beauty in it. And as people of the kingdom of God, that is what Jesus hopes we will do, is to see the ugly or to see the broken or to see the pain and to find beauty in it and to point it out and to pull it out. I first had a glimpse of the kingdom of God downtown Portland under a bridge while I sat and ate dinner with a crowd of folks who lived on the streets with my family and some friends. Our family had been bringing food and dragged our friends down and our chairs to attempt to live out this idea of loving Jesus through the stranger by feeding the hungry or giving a cup of water. And suddenly, I saw the beauty and reality of power under. The power of the kingdom instead of the power over of this world. Greg Boyd is the pastor of Woodland Hills out in Michigan, I think, right? And he wrote a book called The Myth of the Christian Nation. And he talked about this idea of power under versus power under versus power over. And that has helped me see what the kingdom is. And so while we're sitting underneath the bridge, I'm seeing power under. As we sit with these people who we don't know, it might stink, and they have mess, they have messy look to them, you know, but they sit and we're together and we're eating together. We all need food. We all need fellowship. And I was able to find Jesus under the bridge. Jesus' power came under, and so I began to see and identify and understand how the kingdom of God can come here and now. And it is calling us. I wanted more, and I imagined more. 8 years later, I know Jesus as my King, who comes close to me, and he tells stories. He asks questions, and he takes my children on his knee and then throws them up in the air until they're laughing hysterically. And then he speaks to me, my heart. He is real. He has nothing false about him. And that is what calls me into what I do. And I am not real all the time. His kingdom is like that. It is like real. His kingdom is where my heart wants to be because there's freedom. There's freedom to love without feeling like I'm loving too much or too little or not doing enough or not doing it right. And that is where I want to be. That is not where I'm always, but that is where I want to be. In my heart, in my mind, and in my action. Which sometimes leads you to things like, over a year ago, Andy and I have sought the kingdom in our marriage. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. The things we cannot see with our eyeballs. We have to see with our mind and in our imagination. We imagine, Andy and I imagine, a marriage full of life and love, not settling on regular or simply even happy. God clearly has more for us. I confess to Andy a part of our marriage that was hidden in darkness in my heart. I won't go into detail, but much shame had filled my mind in this area of my heart and mind. And the only way I knew out was to bust it open. And I knew it wouldn't be pretty. Opening up my heart to Andy by telling him about my vulnerable, weak sin could have destroyed our marriage. It nearly broke us in two. As we sought life, we faced death. Much shame in my heart had to die, and it is still dying, even though it has already died with Jesus. We found a marriage therapist and dove into the deep waters of painful parts of our relationship. I'm sure some of you understand these painful parts of marriage and of relationship. I've never felt so raw or loved in my marriage before. The weight of grace and mercy is very holy, but it is also very heavy. Jesus showed up through Andy in his love, in his pursuit, and in his hugs and embraces. His commitment to me has given me the strength to keep moving forward. The kingdom is near. I have found Jesus again, and again he is close. He's close to me with my husband, and he's loving me through him. Jesus continues showing up. Forgiveness and reconciliation is strengthening and rebuilding broken pieces of our marriage, and I am so grateful. We move toward healing because we imagined a life fuller and more real. We imagined, and so we were inspired to step out into the darkness that we knew was going to hurt before it felt good. In the Reconcile class here at Zion, I've been a part of it. Lederach is the author. He challenges us with the idea that reconciliation is getting to the heart of the gospel and getting on with the gospel. He says, in the life of Jesus, holiness is defined more than anything else by his persistent movement toward people, their pain, and the formation of new relationship. And that is what Andy and I have been working on for over a year. And Jesus is patiently persistent until the walls come down, because his kingdom has no walls. And isn't life more than all of the worries of today? Isn't it more? My relationship is more. Our children have watched us and joined us in many things. Sometimes I wonder how much counseling they will need later on in their life. But what I hope for and what I see in my imagination, I keep saying imagination because it's so much. What I see with my kingdom eyes is that they will know to live fully. They will pursue whole relationships in their life. My faith in his beautiful kingdom is confident, and I hope that they will know, that my children will know, that we are imagining the kingdom as we seek the truth in our marriage, pursue relationship with one another, with them, and pursue relationship with our neighbors and our community. And that kingdom living involves pausing, contemplation, and allowing space to attend to darkness that creeps in, because it will. We need to stop and think. Our kids need to see this. And even though it's hard, and even though our kids saw many fights or many crying, and they didn't quite understand it, they know that we are continuing to pursue each other. And that is the heart of the gospel. It is pursuing one another when it is hard, when it is painful, because we imagine that there is hope and that there are good things out of this. Jesus asked the question in Matthew 25, why do you have so little faith? He knows we will be consumed by the kingdom of this world, which seeks to destroy all imagination, all faith, all hope, and love if we don't put the kingdom first. He's saying these things to help us remember what the most important things are. His question challenges the waste of our beautiful imaginations. God, our Father, has blessed us with access to his mind, his power, and his heart. So there is no reason for us to hold anything back. And as a people, we should be moving toward this together. Our thinking changes our acting. We must be contemplative activists. Stopping thinking, acting. Stopping thinking, acting. This should be the pattern of Zion or of the church. And if our kids don't see us doing this and pointing out the kingdom for them and working together with one another, they are going to be consumed by the kingdom of this world. Wherever we are his beloved. Jesus' questions and challenges are not to condemn us and not to keep me into shame and to keep me thinking about the things that I have done wrong or the things that people I have hurt. He questions and challenges us to bring life to all the places in our hearts. With his stories and our stories together, we can imagine the kingdom in our daily lives and live it out in one mind and heart. If Jesus spoke so much about the kingdom, I imagine that he hoped we would do the same. He hopes that we will talk about it. He hopes we will imagine what it looks like in our daily lives. Talking about the kingdom makes us think about the kingdom. So if we don't talk about it, we won't think about it. When we think about the kingdom, we live in the kingdom. So this is what I hope we will, I've seen it happen. So let's keep doing it and let's be inspired to do it together. Our kids need to hear us speak about it. They need to help have us point it out to them. One time, me and Eva and Lucy wrote it out on our sidewalk chalk with chalk. And we wrote down the things that we thought were the kingdom, and we did it in a way that I knew that they could join me in it. And it was fun. And then we saw people walking along and reading it along the sidewalk. And we were like, nobody. Our kids, each other, we all need to see it for each other. This might have been shorter than I anticipated it, but I hope that we would take a few minutes to think about the kingdom in our lives. Because each of us knows what the kingdom is, I think. But we have to really think about it, though. So the kingdom of God is where Jesus is being followed and Jesus is being pursued and Jesus is known. So I want us to think about in our marriage, in our relationships, in our neighborhoods, take a few minutes to think of how you see the kingdom in your life. We're going to have a big whiteboard, and we've already invited a few people to come and write on it. But I would ask that all of you, or if you're willing, to come and share something by writing how you see the kingdom in your life. It could be one word, it could be a sentence, it could be a picture. But our imaginations do crazy things, so I pray that Jesus would open that up and his Holy Spirit would give us wonderful things for each other. Thank you.
Or phrases. Where do you see God's kingdom being near? Thank you.
take a few more minutes if you want to come forward. If you have a word or a phrase, please come. Please come and express that.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts and your pictures and your mind. One last thing I just thought of as we were sitting here thinking, Jesus said that the kingdom of God was like a mustard seed, and it is very, very small. And I think of the things in our mind, the ideas in our mind, start out very, very small. And sometimes they take a long time to get to the big, huge, massive tree that the mustard seed would become, or the bush. And I also imagine the butterfly. It is like a butterfly, too, because it starts out like a little wiggly worm, and it grows into this beautiful butterfly that flies off and becomes this amazing thing. And so I think of all these things, and I hope that we would imagine great things for one another. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thank you. We're going to go right into our prayer and share time. If you want to respond to this worship service, or you have things that you would like for us to hold up in prayer, if those are joys or concerns, you want to do that this morning. So this is an opportunity for you to share. If you want to raise your hand, I can bring you the mic.
I've been reminded this morning through Serenity's message that we don't always see God in what seems right and good, but sometimes in things that are hard and difficult. So thanks, Serenity, for reminding me of that. God is always with us. Last week we had a conference, as you all are aware, a number of us were there. I left with a bit of a heavy heart because of the division that we see in our conference as well as the denomination. I'm wanting to imagine with hope, as I was challenged this morning, that God can bring us unity and oneness. So I would ask that we pray, particularly this week, as the bulletin reminds us, for our delegates and hundreds of others who will be gathering in Kansas City, for our youth and their leaders. A very significant time in the life of the Mennonite Church. I want to imagine and have faith that the kingdom is still here.
Thank you, Lynn. I think on that note, I want to have those that are going to Kansas City this week to come forward, and we're just going to have a short prayer for that group. So you can kind of see who we are. You can hold us in prayer. If you would just come forward at this time, David's going to give a prayer of blessing for us. Matthew and Joe Parker will also be attending, but neither one of them are here today. Bethany will be there at convention working, I think, some jobs too. So those others from our youth that aren't here this morning are Cameron Roth and Emma Phillips and I'm forgetting one more boy. Weren't I? No, okay. One thing, I just want you to know a little background on how we go about every 2 years of working toward this goal. The youth are asked to make a commitment and to give money, $100, that they're willing to attend convention and willing to work at fundraisers, show up for youth group. So there's some expectations that come with this kind of trip. It's not just, you know, free for all, anybody can go whenever. I mean, there's things that we want them to be a part of to help in raising the money. So that's a little background. We work for 2 years, have our fundraisers, try to work as a group, bonding a little bit to know each other before we then go to this convention. So David will give us a prayer.
It's all about for prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of these young people, the gift of those who are going as leaders, the gift of those who are going as delegates. Every 2 years, as Janice said, we do this thing that helps us see that we are bigger than just these four walls and just these relationships inside here. That gives us great hope and great joy, and it also humbles us, and we thank you that this little bit of our institutional life can also point us to you and your kingdom and its immensity. We pray as these young people who are such an important part of our congregational life participate in convention that you would inspire and encourage them with new vision for their own lives and for the life in our Christian community. We ask that you give them a renewed joy at being part of this community that we call Mennonites. We pray also for Craig and Jana and Brianne as they walk with youth during this next week. We ask that you guide them as they are also looked to for guidance. Give them wisdom. For Joe and Matthew, who go as our delegates, again, we thank you for their willingness to serve us, their willingness to put themselves out there, take on this task on our behalf as a congregation here locally, and we thank you for the gifts you've given them. We've shared with one another and wrestled with one another over themes that will be discussed and discerned at Kansas City. And we want to acknowledge the difficulty that these men will have in trying to listen to your spirit and discerning a path forward, along with brothers and sisters from all over the nation. We ask, Lord, for your spirit to give them confidence in your leading. Make yourself known to them as they discuss and wrestle. We as a body release them for this service of discernment. And may you give them also joy as they serve, attend seminars, worship, and reconnect with family and friends. And Lord, we also pray for those of us who remain here as we look and listen from a distance. Help us to pray diligently, not for our own will to be done, but yours. Give us the grace, Lord, to let you be God in that space in Kansas City, in our life as a body, and in our own personal lives. We thank you for the grace you have already given us that allows each such deep love for one another. As difficult decisions get made this week, Lord, give us strength to give that grace in visible flesh. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I was waiting for the Lopez family to get here. They're, anyways, oh.
All right, well, I stepped outside to meet them. So Selena Lopez, who you saw make yummy Mexican food in the video, Ruben and her two children are here, and they are selling pozole for $5 a container, which is a huge sacrifice all morning in this heat in their kitchen. So they've been making the pozole in their kitchen, and it's probably destroyed their house for like 2 days with the heat. I wouldn't want to make it. I'm pretty sure they don't have an air conditioner, but anyways, they're here to sell for $5 a container for a friend of theirs. They came and requested this a month or so ago because they're trying to help a friend that needs an immediate kidney transplant. And so with no health insurance and all the other issues that come along with that, this community is amazing with selling all sorts of food and fundraising and doing some amazing things. So pozole today, $5, they're going to try to set up right out here. They just arrived, and they're going to get it all set out. Yes, sir. It's like a... It's good.
It's like a stew, kind of, but it's chicken, so pollo. But it's got hominy, so they soak the hominy for a while, and then it's a red sauce or a red broth. And they have all kinds of wonderful spices and stuff. So it's very good. You will be happy with it.
And she didn't make it very spicy. So.
For us gringos.
Yeah. And I do want to say to Zion, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support of allowing just that we can go to Kansas City and that you've been there for us for the last 2 years in our fundraisers. Thank you for supporting the youth. Anyone else like to share just a few more minutes?
Just to say to Serenity, this was really big and really worshipful. Thank you.
I would love to hear some stories of Parent and Me Camp, because a lot of people were gone last Sunday, or high school camp week. Anyone want to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask prayer for the high school campers as they go home this weekend. It was a really powerful week of camp. One quick story, we had a camper so during our staff meetings, we share openings and blocks. So things during your day that have been blocks and things that have been openings in your cabins. And this particular camper has been a block for the past several years. Always comes up in the staff meetings, always is a struggle. And this year, when we had our final staff meeting, he was every staff member's opening. Just the transformation that he's had and the very verbal gratefulness that he's had towards camp for being this life change for him. But we still want to remember like the home that he's going home to. So other campers like that and as they process this week.
Thank you.
Serenity, I thank you. We had quite an exciting time this morning. Rich is leaving for Washington for MDS, and it's his birthday, and he's going to be working up there. Would you remember to pray for him? The temperatures are supposed to be in the hundreds, so they said that they start early and finish early, but right before he left, we had the grandchildren at our home, and Gunner fell, and he's getting stitches this morning. So there was a lot going on. So just pray for protection for Rich as he travels and as he works, and for a complete and quick healing for Gunner.
I'm Bryn. At camp, I like going pole bearing with my dad.
Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Yes.
We've been in to see Willie at the Donita Garber 3 or 4 times this past week. Willie is failing pretty fast. And they would love to have anybody come by and see him. They're in room 1 at the Hope Village. And he's really going pretty quick. So if you want to see him, please do.
Thank you, Orville. Anyone else? You want to remember Matthew this morning in his message at Bethel City Church also. So let's go to prayer. Lord, thank you for this church community and the ways that we can be open and share our lives with each other. I thank you for this message this morning from Serenity. Thank you for the way that you are working in her life and those areas of imagination and growth that she can share with us. Lord, we just lift to you this morning those that we love and care for. We want to remember Rich as he's traveling and working with MDS this week. And we want to pray a blessing on Gunner that you would be with him and bring healing to his injury this morning. Thank you for his family that loves him and continues to nurture him. Thank you for the many ways that you are making yourself known to us this summer through Drift Creek Camp. We want to lift this particular camper that Bethany has shared about to you, asking for your protection over them, and that they would continue to grow spiritually in knowing you, even as they go home to a difficult situation. Lord, thank you for the growth that has happened in this camper's life. We just pray you would continue to be near them. Thank you for the many ways that you provide opportunities for us to travel, to be with others who love and worship you, and just a blessing, travel mercies for many of us this week, that you would go with us, that we would know you in the messages, in the worship, and the people that we meet. We offer all these things up in your holy name. Amen. We'll have our sending song.
Page 32 in the green book, 32. Please stand. The Holy Spirit does come down and sets God's people free.
If you